Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel's
feeding it! Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome coming up. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
Yeah, I love that. Drunk Santa Claus used to show up at my house every freaking Christmas. It was beautiful. Yeah, my dad would dress up as Santa Claus. And then when he couldn't do it anymore, my brother and I would. You're listening to The Suspendables, by the way. Hi, everybody. My brother and I would get just fucking annihilated, Rusty, okay? Every Christmas Eve, we had a young sister who still believed in Santa Claus. And I'm going to talk about her in a sec. And so we'd get just trashed. And we thought would be a really good idea was get our boots, our construction boots, okay?
Yeah.
Because as we all know, Santa comes down the chimney.
Yeah.
Okay? And my parents had a wood-burning fireplace. So we thought we would put our boots, like step into the ashes and then kind of walk across the living room rug, you know, to the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So she'd wake up in the morning. This will be unbelievable. Until we were so drunk, didn't realize that the fire embers had caught on the bottom of our boots. And we walked across the rug and burnt holes in the rug.
Mom wasn't happy in the morning.
No, mom was not happy about that.
Well, I thought you were going to say you guys had about four Santa suits. You're all shit faced.
We did. I was so drunk one year, I got it all mixed up. I dressed up like a bunny rabbit for Christmas. It was fucking brutal. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, it's our Christmas show. This is our last show before Christmas, and it's going to be great. Before we bring on our guest, I'll tell you where he falls in. Okay, this guest, and then we'll talk all about it. But he falls in, Rusty, when we started doing this show, when we met with Bill Yeady, our partner. You and I looked at each other and go, okay, we got guests, man. We got guests coming out our yin yang.
Yeah.
Okay. We got the great Rolodex. And then every once in a while, Rusty and I get together and go, okay, you know who we got to bring on? You know who we got to bring on? And we've done that. And we always said, we got to get Jimmy on, Jimmy Melton, who is the longtime caddy. I guess that gravy train's done now. Was a long time caddy of the great one.
23 years.
Yeah, 23 years. We're going to bring him on a bit because Jimmy, I fell in love with Jimmy the second I met him.
Oh,
and I'll tell you how I met him and how we laughed our bags off by the time we had finished the first hole. But before we do that, a couple of shout outs, Rusty. Lana. Okay, Lana T, I've been talking to. We're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And
just friends.
Just friends. Yeah.
Okay.
Just,
good.
Just settle down, everybody. Okay. Just settle down. And she is a mother of a player in the Spengler Cup.
Oh, wow.
You know, and Stevie and I were talking this morning. The Spengler Cup kind of slips under the radar, but I said, Rusty coached there. It happens every year in Davos, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And her son is over there, Matt Tompkins. She told me don't say his name.
Okay. That lasted 5 seconds.
Yeah. But if I talk about, if you want to know who's on the team, he plays for Lund. He's with Sweden. He's an import Canadian kid.
Yeah.
And he plays for them. And, it's kind of the dream, you know, we love a lot of our shows. We talk about the, you know, kids playing in the minors and, you know, living the dream and all that stuff. I want you to talk about the Spengler Cup for a second, Russ. I'll give you the history of it. Anyway, so we're dedicating this show to Matt and all the parents like Lana and all these people who have been following their kids. You know, he's in his late 20s now. He grew up here and he's over there playing for Sweden and the Spengler Cup's coming up. I didn't realize, Russ, this thing is the oldest hockey tournament, invitation hockey tournament in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just read you a bit here. It was originally devised by Dr. Carl Spengler as a means to promote teams from German-speaking Europe who might have suffered ostracism in the aftermath of World War I. Eventually, the tournament grew well beyond expectations, and many of Europe's most prestigious clubs and national programs have appeared, including the Soviets, Czechs, Swedish, German, and Finnish powerhouses. Through its history, club or national teams from 13 different countries have won the tournament with, guess who, Team Canada 16 times.
Nice.
Anyway, that tournament is coming up again. Rusty, you were part of that. Yeah, I know you coached there. Did you ever play in it?
I never played in it, and I wish I had of, but I coached in it. And I just, we had a great time. Our whole family went for Christmas and New Year's. We came second. We lost to the Russians. But what a great family trip. What a great experience for me to be an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And I always tell hockey fans, especially Canadians, I'm like, if you ever want to go on a cool vacation, go to Davos, Switzerland. You can ski during the day and watch hockey at night. And it's a big party and tons of fun.
Right. Well, she's telling me she's over there, a trip of her life. She's, in her words, pinch me. You know, I can't, I can't believe it. That the charter, the team has a charter. So they're moving around from Stockholm. I guess she's doing some traveling with her kids, I guess. But the team has a charter and stuff. So they're looking after everybody. Anyway, good luck to him and good luck to every kid playing in the minors and doing that.
The coaches and the training staff got a $3,000 credit at the downstairs bar at the Davos Hotel that we stayed at. We went through that pretty goddamn quick.
I was going to say, you'd have to add an extra zero for that credit for you, Rusty. Okay. $3,000. Okay. Yeah. That guy does that by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's finished. Good luck there. I don't know what's happening with hockey, Russ. They're canceling games everywhere.
Oh, why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they? COVID is rearing its ugly head again. So who knows? It's kind of hour by hour what's going on there, but what has in stock? Okay. So I'm thinking about this today. People love Russ's life. Okay. Because it's like a fucking fairy tale. Okay. It's what it's like. Okay. It's just this unbelievable life that Russ Courtnell had. He's, you know, he was driving Porsches when he was 11 years old. Yeah, okay? That's what started for Russ.
I was delivering newspapers.
In the Porsche.
Yeah, in the Porsche. Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, part of your life, is, and I mean this seriously for a second, is this unbelievable golf club called Sherwood Country Club. I've had the great fortune of being there several times. Russ, we know that you live there. And I've played a bunch of golf courses in my life, real good ones. Mm-hmm. Okay. Including Scotland and Carnoustie and Muirfield. If I haven't played the course, I've certainly seen every golf course in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm not lying that Sherwood Country Club, you guys are freaking spoiled, because Sherwood Country Club would rank up there as one of the best golf experiences on the planet. There's no doubt about it. Okay.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah. Right? And so then you say, well, why, right? And you go, it's an unbelievable track for starters. I think is Nicklaus designed that thing?
Yeah, signature.
Every hole is a different story. I mean, there's stories on every single hole. You know, the most remarkable one is that par three where Jimmy, when I met him, he's telling me all these freaking stories, and he said, "Yeah, Jack Nicklaus. I'll tell you what, Jimmy, my boy." You'll hear Jimmy in a second. This is me imitating him. He carved out that fucking mountain, my man, and put a green in there. I thought, come on. Yeah, he did. It's one of their signature par threes. But if you ever want, so it's the golf course itself is outstanding. Okay. So what else makes it stand out is the membership. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the stars that are there, there's a million stories. And the other one is the cost. Okay. It ain't cheap, baby. Okay. It ain't cheap to get in there. So if you got a golf course that costs a couple hundred grand to get in there, I want to see it. Okay. Can I see it? So our guest today, Jimmy Melton, is a longtime caddy of Wayne. So I gotta tell you how I met Jimmy. And we fell in love by the time we finished the first hole. So Gretz invites me for the member guest. I think this is how we met Jimmy the first time. And I said, let me think about that. Okay, I'll be there. All right. Yeah. And so I went down and, you know, Gretz loves showing off Sherwood as well, right? He comes from humble beginnings, man. And he had been telling me about this golf course for years. And I said, okay. And he invited me, right? So it was unbelievable. So we go to the range and then he says, here's my caddy, Jimmy. I said, oh, it's a great name, of course, for starters. And Jimmy was very polite, right? And he came over and shook my hand. And he said, nice to meet y'all. And I said, okay, my first words, Rusty, work. And he had no idea how to take me. I went, if you make one fucking mistake out here today, okay, buddy, I'm telling you, you're done. You're done, right? And he was sort of looked at me for a second, came and gave me a big hug, said, I love you, bro. And then so when we get to the first green, Rusty, I don't have caddies all the time. So I'm playing it up, right? And I'm behind the ball and I'm looking at the putt. And I give Jimmy the wave over, right? Okay, I give him the fucking wave. Hey, Jimmy, get over here.
Oh,
he
no.
Goes, he goes, what? Yeah, he goes, what? I said, which way does this break? He goes, we are not doing that fucking shit all day, pal. I'll tell you right now, okay? We are not doing that. Jimmy Melton, welcome to the program, buddy. If you want to, if you want to go, you know, if you want to know anything that goes on at a hotel, okay, you ask the doorman. Right. You don't ask the general manager. If you want stories from Sherwood, we're not talking to the president. OK, we're not talking to Russ. We're going to talk to the guy. OK, and the guy. Congratulations, Jimmy, on such a long career caddying, 23 years. And welcome to the program. We've been dying to get you on, buddy. So this is great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, man. I was excited. Honestly, I was a little nervous. I'd rather hit a golf ball instead of in front of some people than do this.
Why would you be nervous, Jimmy, with Russ?
I've got a bottle of Patron going here for him. So exactly. It's going to get good.
We're going to get a bunch of stories, Jimmy, but I will tell you this. You may not remember this, Jimmy, but I do, because in that member guest.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I'll remember it.
So what happens is I'm learning all about the Sherwood, right? And one of the things I'm freaking out about is I said, where's the cart? Where's the beer cart, right? And Gretz goes, no, just pick up your phone this number and ask for golf club operations.
Armando.
Or whatever, right? Golf club operations. I said, I felt like it was on Star Trek, right? So I pick up the phone, golf club operations, and we're playing with Wayne and Fooch. Okay, is our group. So Wayne says, order up what you want. So to be a clown, right? Fooch can hear me and Gretz can hear me. I go, I'm with the great one here. Okay, I want you to snap together an order here and get it out here as fast as you can. I want a bottle of Zambuca. Get me 12 Heinekens. Get me a nice dry white. And throw in a little half Mickey of rum. Jesus. Right? So Gretz is laughing his head off and Fooch is, you know, looking at me going,
Who's this asshole?
Yeah. Fooch hadn't drank. He did not drink for 3 years. Okay. He was sober for 3 years, but he decided that day, Russ, that he was going to have a cocktail or two.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Do you remember this, Jimmy?
I do.
And anyway, he got annihilated and he's a really good player. And then he started going bad. And the highlight, though, because this was so long ago that if a guy had a Scotty Cameron putter, okay, this was cool. Okay, this was cool. You know, those things, $400-$500. And I remember he missed a putt. He hiccuped and then drilled the head of the putter against one of those big rocks out on the
green. Oh, no.
I've got it. True story.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Jimmy, you got to tell the story. There was a caddy who he caddied for Sean Connery. And I remember you guys told me this. And Sean Connery was notoriously cheap.
You sure that wasn't me?
No, it wasn't you, man. Maybe it was you.
It was me, bud.
Well, let's hear that story then. Let's hear that story because this is a fantastic. You got suspended for this, didn't you?
No, but that was me and Sean Connery got divorced that day. It was over. It was awful. I'm so excited, seriously, to be there. And I caddied for these four women on a Monday. I've never caddied. I played, but I didn't caddy. So we get there and I don't work all week. They call me on Saturday. Can you work at 1? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I get there and Dave Guerrero, who's still there, he's older than I am, which is hard to do. Right. and he goes, do you know who we got? And I said, I have no idea. I said, we got Joe Pesci, Jack Nicholson, Sean Connery, and Clint Eastwood.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's what do you find me funny? Joe Pesci, you find me funny?
That's my first day. So honestly, Dave says, you got Sean Connery and Joe Pesci, and he's got Nicholson and Clint Eastwood. I'm like, okay, perfect. I don't care. I don't care. Pick one. Oh, pick anyone. I'm good. Right. I'm so excited. So we get there and we get over there and we get on the second hole, and Pesci hits it over by that left bunker on two, the par five up the hill, sure, where everybody hits it. And he goes, so Jim, what's your handicap? I'm like, I'm a scratch golfer. Oh, really? You're a scratch golfer. Hey, throws a ball down, hands me his 3 wood that he's getting ready to hit. Here, hit one for me. Oh shit. You gotta be kidding me. I'm like, okay. And you know, but 31, I could do it. I hit a missile up the fairway.
Nice.
And he looked at me and goes, Jim, don't worry about these assholes. They wish they could hit one just like that.
There you go.
But I'm not kidding you. The fear factor left me right then. And it was like the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Sean Connery, we get to the next hole, number three, little par three. You know what? 9 iron, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hits it shitty, short, you know, and I'm whatever. But I'm such a James Bond fan. I'm so excited to have Sean Connery. I've watched every movie.
Sure.
And now I'm like, this guy's a dick. Can I say that? This guy's terrible.
Oh, no.
So he chunks it. He chunks the shot I don't know what he did, but he hit a shitty shot. And he looked up to the sky and flipped the bird up there and go, fuck you, up to the sky. I'm like, getting the hell out. I haven't lived clean enough to get near that lightning bolt that's getting ready to come down. I'm getting out of there.
Sure.
Yeah. But right then I'm like, you got to be, how do you do that?
Yeah.
That was it for me.
I think I was referring to one of your buddies who, the Sean Connery story that you guys told me while we were playing, it wasn't you. He got Sean as, was his guy for the day. Chitting a guy means you just get paid the minimum through the club, right,
yeah,
Jimmy, instead,
yeah,
of cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sean Connery was a notorious chitter, okay, and cheap. Yeah. And he got chitted, and I think your caddy buddy found him in the parking lot, threw the money back at him, and said, it cost me more to go to one of your fucking shitty movies. Keep the cash.
That was not me. Okay.
Yeah, no, that wasn't you. Anyway, he got a 2-day suspension or something, but I love that story. Jimmy, like I said, you know, to be there, you're probably spoiled, you know, to be able to experience what you have over the years, you know, at Sherwood and all the stories. You know, there are a lot of caddies have written books, man. I was looking at one of my, there's a book called Loopers, which is the slang name for a caddy. Cause a loop is 18 holes, Rusty. All right. The shit I'm teaching you today, Rusty, is unbelievable.
Thanks there, big fella.
How did it all start, Jimmy, for you? How does a guy become a caddy at Sherwood? I'm guessing it's not just a walk on saying, okay, I'm here, I'll help you out.
It's not.
Explain that process.
I played some college golf. I thought I was good.
Yep.
Of course, you know, I was so smart, I flunked out after like second year.
That makes you lovable.
Yep. Yeah. And so I was going to turn pro and got some guys around town because I beat up everybody around where I live, but that was before I tried to play pro.
Right.
So I come out, this girl I was dating, we sold her business. Her dad's business.
There we go.
So yeah, we bought this motorhome and traveled for like a year or so. So we go up to East Coast. I'd never been up that way. We go to Nova Scotia, you know, Canada, right, you know, we had a pistol in the thing. That didn't go over very well.
Crossing the border?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I'm from Tennessee. Give me a break.
They didn't cover that in the pamphlet.
So we get up, we get out. And so we see this Malibu RV park. So she goes, pass me on the shoulder, pull up there. Pull up there. It's beautiful. It's right by Pepperdine, looking over the water. She comes back out acting all weird. I'm like, what? She goes, I just signed us up for 6 months right here. I'm like,
with the motorhome?
With the, yeah, right
at the park and the motorhome.
The motorhome, the motorcycle, right by Pepperdine. The
fucking Clampets. Here they come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, worse. We had lobster traps. It was awful. We had the tiki lamps, the hammocks. Sure. Oh, it was awesome.
You had it all. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you get your gig here. How do you do it?
So I'm out hitting balls. Here we go. We're there. I'm hitting balls at Pepperdine with the golf team. And they're like, you want to go to the Shark Shootout? And and trust me, when I tell you, I see Greg Norman, Fred Couples, Ray, all these guys, Arnold Palmer. I'm like, I'm in, and I'm looking around at Sherwood. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Sherwood is sick.
Yeah.
So sick. And so I met the boys.
Yep.
They go, one of the pros go, hey, what are you doing? I go, I ain't doing anything. I've been traveling for a year. I'm sitting out here in this motorhome. So next thing you know, he goes, you want to come caddy? And I did. And 30 years later, they can't shake me.
Unbelievable. I love that story.
Jimmy and I joined about that exact same time. So Jimmy and I have been at Sherwood same amount of time and grew up there together. And anytime I have friends or guests come down and play, we always get Jimmy because he's just got a million freaking great stories.
Of course, these guys.
And he's also a great caddy and a good friend. And so over the years, we've had a blast there and seen a lot of shit, seen a lot of good stuff.
I'll tell you what. So I grew up watching golf. I've played golf my whole life. I'm 60 now. So I've been playing golf for 50 years. There's no doubt about it. I started hitting balls when I was 7 or 8. So I grew up watching the Masters with my old man, sitting smoking cigars inside. And my dad would flip it on, Rusty. You know, this is back in the 70s, and he would turn it on. My dad was hilarious. And it would come. You only could see it Saturday and Sunday afternoons back in the day. Right. But all hands on deck. He'd turn the TV on and then he turned to me and go, son, prepare yourself to watch one of the greatest cultural events of all time. I thought it'd be some history show. He said, the Masters, you know. Yeah. I tried to take my dad to Augusta, but he was too sick. You know, he died of Huntington's, and I had it all planned, and it just never worked out. He got too ill, and then he died. So I had never been. It was a lifelong dream. So anyway, I phoned Gretz. My family's in Florida. The kids are going to fly home. They've given me the okay. I'm going to go to Augusta to the Masters. Can you find me a ticket, Gretz? Phone this guy. It's the toughest ticket in the world, right? Yeah. I phoned. They go, yeah, you got $5,000. Okay, it's a single ticket. And I said, oh, my God, no. I mean, I can't spend $5,000. So then I phoned Gretz back. He hooks me up with Fuji. Fuji's a guy from Sherwood who spends $100,000 a year bringing clients there. He's an insurance guy. And I phone him. He goes, oh, are you any good? Absolutely. I got a pass all week. I got a bunch of boring clients, like 15 or 20 guys, Jimmy. And I need you to tell jokes at night and I'll give you a pass. So lucky me, I show up there. He's rents two houses. He says, you're sleeping over there. There's Jimmy. I went, not fucking the Jimmy. He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, Jimmy Melton. I fucking ran in there. I gave him a wedgie. Way. He was fucking sleeping. I said, we're roommates for the week. I gave him a big wedgie. He jumped up. He gave me a hug. Way. He taught me how to drink flavored vodka behind a shrub at the house. And then I said, I've never been to the Masters. And so Jimmy said, well, you're coming with me, buddy. So we're walking. This setup is so cool, Russ. Fuji, we played golf at the Augusta Country Club, which is right beside the Augusta National. We played these other tracks. And now I'm about to walk onto the property and I'm getting, I don't know how else to put it. I'm getting fucked up as I get closer and closer. And Jimmy
emotional
does it. Yeah, Jimmy's walking with me and he's going, what's wrong with you? Right. And I'm going, I don't know. Fuck, I got something in my eye. Right. I'm going, I got sanded.
The pine needle. Fucking,
and he sort of blows it off for a second. And as I get closer and closer, I just cannot believe that I'm about to walk through the gates of Augusta National.
Wow.
And I get to the gate and my heart's going 1,000 miles an hour. And Jimmy's got me like he's carrying me like I don't have feet. And by the time I get in there, I'm fucking bawling. Okay. And as only a good friend would do, Jimmy, he stops and at the fucking top of his lungs goes, check my buddy, the big suck. He's crying his ass off right now. He's fucking crying. Come on. Get a hold yourself. And I never laughed. So he buried me. All these people are coming over and rubbing my back and everything. And yeah, Jimmy's going,
it's okay. It happened to me last year.
Yeah. Jimmy's going, shut up, regroup, you know? And then of course he hugged me and I think he cried too, but oh, I will never forget. Yeah.
I'm soft.
You got to talk. What are when you think back, Jimmy, we want some stories here from you. I hope Rusty probably.
We got to hear some Gretz catting for Gretz.
Who?
Okay. So how did that all come together?
Okay. So this kid that kept going with him all the time, I didn't know. I'm just out there going with whoever. I would take anybody.
Right.
And so one day the guy calls me, says, hey, Wayne Gretzky's playing today at like 1 o'clock. Got a group. You want to go with him? I'm like, no, I'm good. Yeah. If I want to go, you truck. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I want to go. I've been trying to back into him for 5 years now.
Sure. But, sure.
So I go out with him. He couldn't have been nicer. And I'm like, God, this guy, he is like ice. He just chill, didn't care, whatever. And so I'm like, we get on like 17. He goes, you busy tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I'm not. My motorhome's still running. I'm so good. So I caddy for him. We finish 17, get 18. It's almost dark. He goes in and he comes and the pro comes out and says, hey, good job. And I'm like, what do you mean good job? He goes, yeah, well, Wayne just said from now on, when I show up, I want you here. That's it.
Right.
And I go, well, what about? He goes, don't worry about what about. Be here. But he goes, yeah, I need somebody I can hang with, whatever. So it's 23 years later. Bolted and left me and hanging, so I got rusty. So now we're crushing it.
Rusty is right up there.
Let me tell you, I'll take him.
Yeah, I'll take him too for sure.
Jimmy, the caddy, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Tell us the story about when Gretz invited me to play golf with Tiger and I couldn't show up that day.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, and you were late. You were late.
Well, no, I wasn't late. He just didn't tell us that Tiger Woods was coming out. So I'm not, I know, trust me, I'm late a lot.
I wasn't there because I was traveling. I said, Gretz, he goes, I got a treat for you tomorrow. Come play golf with me and Tiger tomorrow. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to Vancouver or Victoria or whatever. And he goes, that's too bad. So Jimmy's the caddy. Jimmy will tell the story.
I get there and they go, Jimmy, Wayne. So I know I'm going with Wayne. It's like, say 12 o'clock. It's 11:30.
Yeah.
I get there and they go, let's go, Jimmy. Let's go. They're on number one, blah, 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 whatever. And I didn't know it was Tiger Woods. I had no clue. So we get on. I'm like, jump in the cart. You know, I'm nervous again. All right, here I go. Jack this up. Mm-hmm. So I get there. And of course, Wayne's in the left trap where he toe hooks it in there every time. So they take me down there. And so Wayne's in the left bunker. Yeah. And so I didn't look. I never looked at anybody that was in our group. So we get in there and Wayne hits it out. And so I'm raking the bunker and Tiger's got his back to me. And I don't know if you guys remember, he went to something and he dyed his hair white at one of these with some girl at the Orange Bowl. So I get Wayne, I rake the bunker and we're sitting there. I finally get in and he's like, oh, glad you could make it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You said 12 o'clock. It's 11:30. And you're on number one on the fairway. But he didn't tell me what's going on.
Right.
So Tiger's got his back to us. We rake it and I look up and Tiger hits this shot. You know, all I see is his back and this ball go to the moon about 5 feet. Right. And I go, Chris, that white haired kid's got a nice swing. I did.
You didn't know it's him.
100%.
Oh,
That white-haired kid's got a nice swing.
No way.
And he falls up there. So Wayne doesn't say a word. Of course, you know, Mr. Excitement. He didn't even make a move. So we get up there.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
We get up there, and he flips me the ball, and but we do our thing, and I look, and I'm 5 feet staring Tiger in the face with white hair. And it's Tiger Woods.
Unbelievable.
And I just stop. And Wayne is watching all, of course he is, Snoop Dogg, you know, he's watching everything.
Right.
He watches me and he goes, and he's, they're howling. And I have, you know, I'm like, I didn't know. So we get up there and he tells Tiger what I said. He goes, he said, yeah, that white haired kid's got a nice swing.
Oh, so good.
Oh, so honestly, this is no lie. If I see Tiger tomorrow in Vancouver with Russ, he'll look at me and shake his head like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that is so funny, man. I liked one of your best lines too, Jimmy. And it's Gretz. Okay, we're playing. I sure would. And Gretz can be good, right? Gretz can break 80.
He can't. Oh, absolutely he can.
Yeah, absolutely. He can bust 80. And he can go good. He drives it like a champ, as long as he's got the cigar going. And I'll tell you about being competitive. So we play in this member guest. Jimmy and I had dinner at the final banquet. It's the only time I've ever received, and Gretz made a bunch of bets. Okay.
Yeah.
And the only guy he didn't bet with is because he didn't like the guy. He didn't bet with him. And it's a two-man scramble, Rusty, and we get going pretty good. Okay. I've played golf my whole life. Four-man scrambles, you know, that you're going to shoot 10, 11, 12 under. You're going to win it at 16. And Gretz and I are like 4 or 5 under after 7 or 8 holes in a two-man scramble. And I'm looking at Jimmy and he's looking at me. He goes, this is good. This is good
for
right?
you guys.
And Gretz keeps going, it's just fun, you know, and he hates putting 3-footers and I'm fucking ramming everything in. And I know this is really good. Okay. That you're, you know, a two-man scramble, you shoot 3-4 under. That's pretty good, you know, at Sherwood. Mm-hmm. And Gretz is, I'm going, this is good, Gretz. He goes, oh, just relax. You know, don't, we're just having fun. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Who cares? And I'm going, I fucking care. Okay. I want to win this thing or I want to play. Anyway, we finish and shoot 6 or 7 under. Okay. In this scramble. And Gretz is going, yeah, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. And we see him pull up in his cart. He screeches the brakes, full stop, runs to the leaderboard. He's going, yeah, we're in second. Yeah. Jimmy's all, you know, but I remember Wayne is sort of, he's going really good, right? You both have to go good to shoot 6 or 7 under in a two-man, right? And we're amateurs, pal, by the way, right? We got a handicap. And Gretz hits one down the middle, and he's looking at the second shot on a par 5, okay? And he's kind of fingering his clubs, and Jimmy's looking at him, and he's kind of fingering a 3 or 4 iron or something like that. And he says to Jimmy, I was there. I was a witness for this. It was the funniest thing ever I've heard Jimmy say, amongst many things. And he's going, give me the 4 iron. Okay. And Jimmy pauses and looks at him and goes, then what? Before I want to ask you, Jimmy, about the career of a caddy, I got some stuff I'm curious about. What about, I remember flying on that plane with Wayne, or the taxi, as I like to call it, you know, like whenever Wayne says, hey, Jimmy, I'm coming to town. Do you want to go to the PGA in St. Louis? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay. We've had to stop before in that airplane to either pick up a person or something. Like he's like you would run by my house to pick me up on the way to school. I've heard some stories about that plane being pulled over or stopping down to get some pretty strange things that you normally wouldn't pull over a $100,000 charter for. I heard Brett Hull had that plane stop, Jimmy, so he could buy some Copenhagen. So
yes. Get some. Yes.
When I say stop, folks, I mean, it's in the air and they're going to land.
I'll be right back, Brett. I'll be right back. And Wayne's like, what's he doing? He's gone. And so Scott Hamilton, who's married to my cousin, Tracy,
the skater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that does the triple back flips.
Sure.
Okay. One flip, but whatever. Yeah. So Scotty's married to my cousin. And so he's there. And so we landed to pick up Holly and Scott in Denver. And so Brett's like, oh, we'll be right back. And he took off. The plane's running, a private jet.
Yeah.
It's not free. No, I don't know if you've ever took one.
Fuel's a little expensive, yeah.
You know, last one we took, remember that?
I do, yeah, I do.
You do? I don't. Yeah.
I thought it was one of the stories.
No, but don't. Brett Hull, he literally left the plane and left us sitting in 99 wasn't happy.
It's about $150 a nanosecond.
I don't know what it is, but yeah. He wasn't happy with that.
Jimmy, tell me about the life of a caddy. People always want to know. First of all, you can clear up something for us with tour caddies, for example. Everyone always asks me, what do they make? And my answer is always like, I think it's different per guy, but I think probably a standard thing is a percentage. And then when you're probably caddying for John Rahm, it must be a different sort of deal.
It's a different deal. You know, like Bones and John Rahm's caddy, you know, AJ, they're not on the same thing as most people are.
So a standard cat, is he making 5 to 8% of the winnings, Jimmy?
Oh, no, 5% is if you make the cut.
5% if you make the cut.
If you make the cut, you make 5. But, just say I'm caddying for Dustin.
Yep.
He's just probably going to give me $2,000 a week. You know, yep. In case he misses the cut, I don't lose money.
Right.
Then if you, you know, then most of them, I'm not 100%, but most of them are, if you make the cut, it's 5%. If you finish top 10, it's 7. And if you win, 7%, top 10, 7. And then if you win, it's 10%.
I always
say, so you scoop 100 grand if the guy wins $1 million?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Man, that's why I always watch the caddies when the guys are putting.
Yeah. You see them because hugging.
You can see that.
See them crying.
Yeah, because exactly. Yeah. Watch next time you're watching golf, don't watch the putt, watch the caddy. Yeah,
watch the caddy. He is the happiest guy on the world. Happiest guy in the world by a mile.
I was playing at the old course because I know one thing people are going to know about you, Jimmy, before we leave the show, is you are the worst bettor in the world.
1,000%.
See, I know this shit. You can't catch a bet.
Jimmy.
Because I used to bet on the Oilers. And, you know, and I'd phone Wayne and go, how are you feeling? How are you feeling, Gretz? You good tonight? You good?
Good
to go, right? I feel good, right? So, and then Gretz said, if you ever want to bet on a game, phone Jimmy, okay? Phone Jimmy and go the other way. Okay? Phone Jimmy and go the other way. All the caddies I had in Scotland, they were all betting on us. It was the least amount of fun I ever had playing golf.
I know. They're making you nervous.
Yeah. We're at the old course. Okay? This is an experience of a lifetime. And, I jerk a little one on the first hole. We're playing, you know, $20 NAS or some small game, you know, compared to what happens at Sherwood. Anyway, I jerk a little putt. I walk over to my caddy and he goes, fuck. First hole. I said, what's your problem? All right. And he's going, we're fucking betting on you, man. You got to make that shit. You know, you got to make it.
Same at Riviera. They bet too.
Yeah, of course. You guys bet on your players, Jimmy?
No, my player's terrible.
What, how does a guy make a living there, Jimmy? Let's leave you out of it for a second. What's a caddy make at one of the most exclusive clubs in the world?
I don't know, 80,000.
Nice. What's the most you've ever been paid? What's the biggest hit? Don't give the name.
No name.
Oh, okay. Give the name. Yeah.
Okay, I can't because he's dead. I can give a name.
Oh, you can? Yeah, dead guys, you can give the names. Yeah.
Ted Fortsman.
Who's he?
Ted Fortsman owned IMG. You wouldn't know him. He owns all the jet companies. You wouldn't know him. Okay.
What'd he shoot you? One round of golf, 18 holes?
5,000 for the week.
Nice.
10,000 if we make the cut, which we did.
Yep.
And 30,000 if we win. We played with Vijay Singh. Vijay won, but we shit the bed coming in.
Uh-oh.
And he said, I'm going to give you another 10. So he kept me 20,000 cash.
Nice.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Yeah. Beautiful, hey. Oh, no. Yeah. You know what? But you know what? He made me stay in that shitty-ass Spanish
Bay. Oh, now he's going to complain.
Hey, no. He made me stay at that shitty-ass Spanish Bay Inn That was $900 a night.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, with no credit card. Don't turn me loose with no credit card. It's on. Let's go, Jimbo. I got one more story I got to tell.
Okay,
lay it on me, baby.
I got to admit, if it weren't for Rusty, I might be living with you in Edmonton. So he had, hey, I'm not lying. He has taken care of me.
I know he has, man.
Yep. And I am a truck. I get it.
Yeah.
But so we go. We got
truck. I'll set it up.
I'll set it up.
So Paul Redham, he's won the Kentucky Derby a couple of times. Great Canadian guy. He's a friend of mine and a member of Sherwood. And he says, hey, let's get eight guys, you, me, and six other guys, and let's go play golf up in Victoria. Let's go on a boys trip.
Listen to these trips.
Jesus yeah. So, Christ. So, anyway, so we put together this golf trip. Gretz cancels at the last second.
And so
I said, Jimmy, do you want to come? So Jimmy comes on the golf trip and I'll let Jimmy tell the rest of the story.
Oh, so I've never been there. So I'm so fired up. We go to Victoria National.
Victoria Golf Club.
Don't let Russ dial you up with some bets. I shot 68, lost about 300. We had Mark Bloody Marys on the tee. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. The course, amazing, amazing.
Beautiful on the ocean there, yeah.
And I got my ass handed. I shot 60.
And the wind was blowing.
I got dusted. I'm like, this was fucking great. That's all I got. I mean, really? Okay, so it gets worse.
Wait till he tells you to chip in for gas.
Chip in for gas. I was trying to hide in a golf bag.
Sure.
So, we had this, a friend of my buddies had these cigarettes.
We hooked them up with some marijuana.
Yeah. Nice. There we go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mind the odd left-hander, Jimmy? You got to relax.
He told me, don't bring anything. I said, okay, I won't bring anything. Next thing, I can't talk. I'm sucking my thumb. I'm a mess. And so we get in the plane and we get in the plane. They're like, get off the plane. They're getting ready to go through our plane.
Hang on, Jimmy. Okay. We flee Victoria and we have to land and clear customs in Portland. And they go, the pilot comes on and goes, Mark, anybody got anything? And guys had just bought a bunch of Cuban cigars.
Right.
Numbnuts is going white at the back of the plane.
You brought pot with you, Jimmy, on the way home?
It was the BC Bud. What am I supposed to do?
let me guess. Leave it?
Yeah, you know I'm a truck. That didn't happen.
So they come on the plane.
Oh my God, Jimmy, I'm so nervous, but I am.
He's nervous. He's white. He's turning green.
They're looking for cigars. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, they after about 15 minutes of trying to get the bags off the plane, they're
like, we're out.
They went, okay, forget it.
Yikes.
Jimmy immediately he got into a bottle of Jack Daniels. We stopped in Bandon Dunes on the way back and played some golf and ended up at Sherwood, but Paul Redham almost lost his plane.
Jimmy, what are you doing, Jimmy?
I can't help myself.
Boy, that could have changed things. That could have altered your life. We could have done this show behind bars. That would have been a good.
I could have done another couple months.
Yeah, there you go. Story for another day. Jimmy, this is great. This was great, man. This is a lot. This is a lot of laughs. Congratulations on
I love you. You're one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, and you're one of mine, buddy. You're one of mine, and I can't. Next time, we'll talk about how we got kicked out of Hooters in Augusta.
Could do that. Hey, listen, I'm good again. I feel better now. Other than my arms are sweating, but other than that, I'm good.
Or the great idea, Jimmy, that you gave me to sit, which completely fucking backfired, Russ. I almost got kicked out of Georgia for this. Jimmy said, why don't you invite a few of those Hooter girls to come and caddy for us tomorrow at Augusta Country Club?
That was Fuji. That was not me.
No, I was the one who did it. And then Fuji snapped. I showed her that we got a limo for them. Okay.
How'd that work out?
Fuji's constantly reminding me, Russ. Okay, Jerome, you got to behave yourself. They'll rip that pass right off your fucking chest. Okay. If you've horse around at Augusta, and by the way, you got to be in your best behavior tomorrow at this country club, this lady, we get this unbelievable free pass to go play at a private club. I said, don't you worry about me, Fuji. Don't you fucking worry about me. Not a thing. And then we're on the range and we've arranged for, I have three Hooters girls to come and caddy for us at the Augusta Country Club, Russ. And I'm hitting balls on the range and I'm watching the guys. He's phoning me saying they're here. They're around the corner because I'm going to meet them in the parking lot. And I'm going, Fuji, I got a surprise for you. And he goes, no, you don't. No, you don't. Not today, Jungle. Not today. I said, yeah. Got some Hooters girls. They're going to come and caddy. Fuji ran into the parking lot. They opened the door and he literally put his foot up and said, you're not getting out of this limo.
Yet. Oh my God. Yeah,
bad idea. It was Jimmy's fault. Anyway, great stuff, Jimmy. This was wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for coming on, brother. And
hey, can I tell you, thanks for having me, bud. I was so scared, but it was awesome.
You're going to be good, man. You're going to be a star.
He
wore a suspendables hat.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. I got my boys.
Oh, there it is. Oh, beautiful.
That's how we roll.
This show's going to go down, baby.
I love you, Jungle.
I love you too, Jimmy. I love you too, brother. I can't wait to see you.
I can't either. Let's do it. Come on in.
We're going to, Russ, how does that work? Hey, Jungle, would you like to come to Sherwood to play golf? What's that expression? Hey, would you like to come down and play some golf? Stay at the house? Maybe play the piano? Do something. It'll happen.
It's all right here.
Hey, Jimmy, I've heard you in the piano. You got skills. I've heard.
Strong, baby. I'm strong and I'm taking a lesson. You've been listening to, maybe we'll get suspended for this show. Who knows? You've been listening to The Suspendables. Thanks a lot, Jimmy Melton. Rusty, have a great Christmas, man. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Suspendables.com. Watch this one, Rusty. I got it written out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, fuck, the wrong sheet. Suspendables at yahoo.com.
Got it. You almost nailed it.
Take it easy, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Stay safe, Rusty. Have a good Christmas.
See ya, pal.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.